It is sure great to be with everyone today. Thank you, church, for being here. Thank you for coming out and singing out with all your hearts and bringing just great joy to the room and energy to the room. I pray that you've had a great last week, and I know if you didn't, you're having a great start to this one, because this is the Lord's Day. It's His day. It's the first day of the week, and we get to gather together, and I'm so excited about that. I was also very excited to see our sweet sister Linda Carr here today. You look great, sister, and she certainly has been working hard, rehabbing hard, and we're glad that she's here today. Also great to have Tanya and Lance. Is also, I know Tanya, we need to continue to remember in our prayers as well. Michelle Glover is with us today. There's a lot of folks that have been out maybe that haven't been able to that are back, and I'm glad of that. I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for you. We're going to continue to pray for those who are on our hearts, though, that may not be here. And certainly we want to keep talking about, I think, what is a critical subject for us, and that is the story of love. This is the month of love, if you will. As you know, Steve does a great job leading us in our singing, picking out songs, and he centered those around love this morning, as you can tell. Well, we're in a series of sermons talking about walking in love. You see, as Christians, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to make sure we are walking in love. It is our duty, our responsibility to make sure that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. When we do that, we have fellowship with one another in His blood. That love, if you will, continuously cleanses us from our sins. And so as we as Christians mature and walk in our faith, it is critical for us to make sure that we're not walking just going through the motions. Have you ever done something where you just go through the motions? I'm sure you have. At least I know I have. You can remember maybe going to school and just going through the motions of the daily grind of going to school. Maybe you can relate to that in work, or maybe it can be some other chore or something else, and driving along the way. I know that I've driven before and get there and like, man, I didn't even think about anything when I was driving here, you know, and just like, wow, I'm here. And, you know, sometimes we just walk through life, and there are people that we may know or we may encounter, they're just going through that every single day. Well, our motivation can't just be going through the motions. If we're here today and just going through the motions and checking off our religion, folks, we're here for the wrong reasons. We have got to be here because of who we're singing about. We've got to be here because who we're worshiping. We've got to be here because it is our mission to walk in love. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was awarded the part of playing Jesus Christ in an upcoming play. And he was excited about that. It was a big time role, a lot of pressure on him. And he took rehearsals and everything real serious. And so as he was getting, you know, he's moving on and you know, that people were coming, the play was drawing and it was doing really well. And there were some that were not really into the play. You know, they were not really into Jesus. And so they were outspoken a little bit. And so as they were going along, it got to the point where the man was headed to Golgotha. The part of Jesus Christ, he was headed to Golgotha, and there was a heckler that just was right over, just off stage to him, and just started mouthing him and making fun of him, and he had just had enough, and he went over there and he jumped on that guy, and he just started beating him down right there in the middle of the play. Well, they dropped curtain and everything. The director pulled him out. He said, "You cannot do this anymore. This is the part of Jesus Christ you're playing, the meekest man who's ever lived." And so, night two, he said, "I won't ever do it again." And so, guess what? Gets to the same part, and the guy is heckling him again, and he just dives off the stage on top of him, and he's just going crazy, and he's fighting and everything else, and they did the same thing. The director said, "That's it, you're fired. We're not going to do it anymore." He begged him. He said, "Give me one more chance. You know, it's going to be hard to get somebody tomorrow night. I'll be glad to do it." He said, "Okay, but I'm telling you, you can't do this anymore." Well, they get to the same part, and the heckler is there again. And he is just making fun of him. But the guy, he walks and he's carrying his cross. He looks over to him. He said, "I'll meet you after the resurrection." You see, That's us sometimes, isn't it? We're carrying our cross. We're being Christ-like. And along the way, we get sidetracked. They're going to be hecklers, folks. They're going to be naysayers. They're going to be people in your life and in my life that try to get us from carrying our cross, carrying love each and every day. What is our answer going to be? So that's what our lesson is this morning. As we examine this closer, what is love? You know, love is a very, very hard word to define. I said this Wednesday night, but there are 9 definitions, according to Mr. Webster, of love in the noun form. Okay? Love in the noun form, the thing form, if you will. Love has, in our English dictionary, 9 definitions. There are 4 more for love as a verb in Webster's dictionary. So, if you put those together, that's 13 definitions in America, in English, for the word love. Now, if you go back to the Greek, and we know of 4, but there are more than that, but at least 4 definitions of the word love in the Greek language, which we receive our New Testaments from. So what does that mean? All things considered, love is a very difficult word to describe. In fact, there are a lot of people today confused on what love is. Boys and girls at school, back when I was teaching, especially when they would have a guys-only chapel, I would say these things to them. I would say, you know, it's amazing to me that I hear a boyfriend and girlfriend 5 minutes into the relationship saying, I love you. Oh, I love you too. You know, and I'm sitting there and I would tell the guys, no, you really don't. You may lust them, but you don't love them. And that's what's happening a lot in life today. There's a lot of I lust you, but we're missing the I love you. You see, we're confused on what love really is. In fact, if you look throughout society, there's a lot of confusion on love. There's a lot of confusion even in the Christian people, generation, family of what love is. Well, to me, if we get back to our New Testaments, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can know what love is. We can know who love is, and we can make sure we are displaying that type of love. You know who had a real problem with this? The church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was filled with people who had become Christians because they had responded to the idea that God actually loved them and sent His only begotten Son. Now, that's the right reason, right? That is why we are here today. Somewhere along the way in your walk with God, in your study and your growth and your desire to obey the gospel and be baptized and become a Christian, a child of the King, you and I both come to the realization that just like the Ethiopian eunuch, that there is a man out there who went to the slaughter like a lamb and he was silent and he did this and I need to know who this man is, and this man is Jesus Christ, and we come to the realization that He loves you and He loves me and He loves us all unconditionally, and because of that we became obedient to Him. We said, I can't take it anymore. I need to know that I am loved, that I am home, that I am welcome. And so we took off the old man, we buried him in the water, and we came up contacting his life saving blood to walk in love. And that's what the church at Corinth did, and I'm thankful for them. But along the way, they forgot what love was. John the apostle put it this way, as we read from 1 John 4 just a little bit ago. Carl, great job. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We could end the sermon right there, folks. This is love. Jesus Christ on the cross. The church at Corinth knew that. They knew that God had loved them first. But after that, they'd been Christians for a little while, and they'd forgotten what love was all about. So guess what happened? when they forgot what love was and that they were supposed to be living in that love and walking in that love, they became, as we talked about last week, divided. You want to divide the church? Nobody does. But let's say that you did. The best thing that we could do to divide the church, and this sounds so crazy for me to say it this way, but you understand, I think, the best way we could divide the church is take the love out. Oh, bring all the knowledge you want to bring. Bring all the Bible study you want to bring. Bring all the, hey, talents and gifts and abilities you've got you want to bring, but you don't do it with love. And Paul said, we are just making noise. And that's what we talked about last week. And so this week, as we're learning what love is, the church at Corinth forgot. And so they walked in lust. They walked in desire. They walked in sin. They walked in a lot of things. Study 1 Corinthians 6 and see exactly what they walked in. They'd forgotten that they had been washed, they had been sanctified, that they had been justified in the love, the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, that could happen to us. We can forget what love is. And so, what do we need to do? We need to have us a moment in time, just like Paul did when he wrote 1 Corinthians. He spent a whole section of that letter telling them about the more excellent way. And that is what we know as 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Today we're going to be in this book. We're going to be in this chapter, I should say. It's just a great chapter, and we're going to find out exactly in this chapter what love is. Paul tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This chapter is poetic. This chapter is eloquent. This chapter is precise. It gets right to the point, and it's one of the best known sections of Scripture throughout the Bible. In fact, you go to a wedding, and those people might not even be churchgoers, but a lot of times they'll have references from 1 Corinthians 13 in that wedding ceremony. One of the reasons so many people love this chapter is because it does such a powerful job of answering the question, what is love? And so today, there's not a whole lot of ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is rubber meets the road. Love is the picture of Christ, but if you want to know deeper what it means, I invite you to join me in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. It's only 13 verses. You want to add this to your daily Bible reading, I'm sure. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, because sometimes when we might hear the word charity and we forget that's love, or we might get caught up in the way we've always, and I just want you to hear it maybe in a different way this morning. If I could speak all languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whether the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now, as we read through that, I want to remind you what Paul said at the end of chapter 12. He said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Love is that excellent way. So the question is this. What is love? What is love? Love is, number one, patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. So today, as I'm going through this and I'm trying to ask myself, am I these things? You remember, there are preachers that have said throughout the years, instead of love, put your name there. And I still think that preaches pretty well, by the way. If we put our name there, so we need to ask ourselves this, as I walk right now as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, am I patient and kind? The New King James there doesn't use the word patient. It uses the phrase suffers long. Love suffers long and is kind. And I think it's very unique that is the case there, because the Greek word in this passage is actually a compound word made up of two different terms that literally translated says long wrath. Now, you might say, well, love stays angry a long time. Well, if you look at it, that's not the way it works. The way that really means is this. If I'm going to walk in Jesus Christ, I am going to walk in love. And why do you keep using the word Jesus and love? Because what did the Bible say? God is love. They're synonyms, right? And so if I'm going to continue to walk in Jesus, I'm going to continue to walk in love, then I want you to know this. Then I am going to have a lot of things happen before I get angry. That's what it really means. I have a long line before I get to the angry line. If that's the way I am, if that's the way you are, then we're walking in love. Now, I want you to know I've not always been that way, and I still have a lot to work on. There was a time ago that maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago now, as I was a young minister and everything, my patience were really thin. My kids will probably tell you sometimes they are, but I promise them they're not as much as they used to be. There are a lot of things in my life now as I continue to grow in my walk with God that it takes a while to get me angry. There are certainly some things that do, but there was a time when I didn't like getting cut off in traffic or somebody to get in front of me and drive around and then slow down. I mean, you just want to, right? You kind of like Kent, you want to get angry at the person that did some foolish thing at our house or wherever it may be. We want to just fly off the handle and give them theirs and give them what for and still justify because, hey, I didn't say anything bad. I didn't do any bad signals with my hands or anything like that. But boy, I let them know I'm the man or the woman. But one day, that happened, and I think I was probably in a hurry. It seems like I always am. And I was driving, and I really do try not to violate the law that bad in my driving. And somebody just pulled out in front of me, and the first thing I wanted to do is just, but then I got to thinking, thank you, God, that I didn't hit that person. Thank you that I didn't run right up in behind them and hurt me or whoever else was in the car or vehicle. You know, and it just changed my whole perception of life. And I don't know if it was just one of those wow moments in your life. But ever since then, I've tried to look at things that way. I can't sit here stand here and tell you that I always do that perfectly, okay? But for the most part, it reminds me of what I need to be as a Christian. I need to not fly off the handle at things that really don't matter. That's what love is. Love is patient and kind. By the way, they go hand in hand. If we have patience with one another, we can have kindness with one another. And so today I want to ask you that if your waitress or waiter gets your order wrong multiple times, remember what love is. Now listen, yes, people need to be held accountable for what they do. But we can hold somebody accountable without giving them a bad name of the Azalea City Church or the Church of our Lord. We can represent Jesus Christ in the way that He demands us to represent Him. If somebody pulls out in front of you today, or somebody gets on your taillights today, instead of just pumping that brake, just remind yourself that maybe they've got a sick person in the car. I don't know. Whatever works for you, let's remember what patience. Husbands and wives, this is important for us. Today, if something doesn't go your way, or your wife doesn't do it exactly the way you want her to, or that husband doesn't do it exactly the way you want him to, by the way, we didn't program them. They're not programmed to be our perfect robots, and that's probably why we're attracted to one another. One of the ways is because there are some things that keep us different. When that happens, let's remember that we are married to one another, and we are one flesh. Remember it with children. Remember it with brothers and sisters. Remember it with the person in line. Remember, love Jesus is patient and kind. What else did he say about love? He said that, secondly, if you look at the text, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. Boy, that is a mouthful of challenge right there. Okay, sorry to step on your toes, but it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul, okay? He said this, we, number one, need to get rid of all this nonsense out of our lives. Today, right now, if we're going to walk in love, we must get rid of jealousy. Jealousy is a terrible thing. And maybe we don't preach on it enough. You know, and we could talk about envy and such, and jealousy breeds envy, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that is wrong, but man, that we are living in the most jealous time. And I want you to know this. And I know we've got the most perfect young ladies on the planet that go in our youth group right here. But do you know where jealousy really breeds itself? At least in second grade girls. I mean, that's where I've seen it the most. I mean, I'm telling you right now. Okay? But the point of it is, man, people get so jealous of one another. And they tear each other down. I mean, think about that. Somebody right now is tearing somebody down. Probably. Because they're jealous of something they've got or something they've done. People can go out and damage vehicles. I've known people to go out and damage cars because somebody got a new car. And that's bad and that's terrible. But like Kent said, we don't store up our possessions here. But the sad part is there are people damaging hearts because they're jealous. They've allowed jealousy to enter their lives. And let me tell you, there are a lot of talented people around here, a lot more talented than me. And I'm telling you, I am preaching to myself when I preach these sermons, but I want you to know, I am not jealous of their talents. I just want them to keep working for the Lord. Because, man, what a beautiful thing that we're not all a bunch of eyeballs around here. We've got hands and feet and legs and heads and mouths and etc. May jealousy get out of our lives, because that's not Jesus Christ. And that's not us. He says, get arrogance out of your life. I'm telling all my secrets, I guess, today. A few years ago, we played the story of Esther for Vacation Bible School. Some of y'all will remember that. I will not name any names, and please do not let your mind wander. Okay? This person may not be here. But of course, I played the lead in all the VBSs for whatever reason. Probably because they're like, oh, Terry will do it. But this one was Esther, so I couldn't play Esther. I'm like, yes. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, I want you to play Haman. I said, Haman, really? They said, yeah, because we think you can pull that arrogant mindset off. Because you're a lot like Haman. And man, that really bothered me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't really, I mean, not to the point that I needed to go talk with this guy or anything, but I'm sitting there thinking, is that what people think of me? Because I have the most lowest self-esteem of probably anybody here. And I was sitting there thinking, do I give off that? And so I've really tried to work and make sure that that's not the case. And so if you think of that, I promise you that's not the way I feel. But sometimes people walk around with that type of mindset. And they think they're the best person on the planet and we should worship the ground they walk on. But that can't be in the church. Because that's the devil. We are all sinners trying to get to heaven. There are bank accounts here that are large. And I'm thankful for that. There are bank accounts that are here that are very small. And I'm thankful for that. There are people here who have accomplished a lot in the business world. There are those here that may not even have an education of any kind. But you know what I say to all that? We're all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we're black, white, green, yellow, orange, poor, rich, or what have you. We've got to get the arrogance out. He goes on to say to get the rudeness out. One of my pet peeves, and I admit I said this to my wife the other day. Well, that's just the way I am. And she knows that's one of my pet peeves. But when somebody's like, well, I'm just going to tell people how I am and this, that's who I am. That's not really Jesus Christ. I'm just being real about it. I'm just going to tell somebody off and they don't like it, that's fine. Don't call yourself Christian then. You see, rudeness is not part of Jesus. Name me a time when Jesus was rude. Those people spat in His face and He loved them. They hit Him with reeds on the head, grinding a crown of thorns into His flesh while blood flowed down His face, and they mocked Him and they ridiculed Him and they killed Him, and He said, Father, forgive them. If our mindset is I'm going to be rude and I'm going, then we are not going to ever win one soul for Jesus Christ and may not win ourselves. That's real talk. He said, that's not what love is. Get it out. He goes on to say, love is not self-seeking. What does that mean? That means we're looking out for self. I'm going to say it. Y'all know I say it. Behind this wall is our baptistry. In that baptistry is water. When I walk this aisle and I confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Son of God, and I go down in that water, it quit being about me. And it became about Him. So I've got to quit looking out. I'm going to get mine. We better be getting His. That's what love is. And then finally, in this section, he says, love does not keep records. Y'all know of anybody that keeps records? I'm not talking about healthy records. I'm talking about so-and-so didn't call me on this day, so-and-so didn't do this on this day. You know who we really keep those records on? Our elders. And I said this before a few weeks ago. But I'm thankful they don't keep those records on us. Every one of them have issues going on in their lives with family or self or health or whatever it may be. And they're not sitting around thinking, well, Terry Cagle didn't call or text me today. Terry Cagle didn't do this and that. And listen, I'm not trying to be excuse making. I mean, yeah, we need to be more mindful of that. But love doesn't keep records. Love doesn't say, well, you know, 10 years ago I did this for you and you didn't do anything. No, that's ridiculous. That's not love. I'll start I'll end with where I started on this point. All those things, jealousy, arrogance, rudeness, self-seeking, keeping records, we've got to get rid of that nonsense if we're going to walk in love. But then he goes on to say, love is this. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. The New King James, which I'm more familiar with, says it does not rejoice in iniquity, which is sin, which is evil mindset. And I think this is a no-brainer. But as Christians, we can't rejoice in sin. We are called to be holy. So what does that mean? If we're walking in Christ, we can't keep walking and having fun with sin. We can't keep flirting with sin. How's that going to work? Ladies, today, if your husband goes and flirts with another lady, what are you going to do? You're going to jack their jaws, I hope. Well, God's not jacking our jaws physically, but spiritually right here He is. We can't go flirt with sin. Yeah, we're human and we mess up, but He called us out of that. If we're going to be holy, then we've got to be holy in the way we talk. That means I've got to get rid of the bad language if I've got the bad language. I can't respond the way I've been responding if I've been responding in a sinful way. I've got to be holy in what I watch. I've got to be holy in what we listen to. Do you know there was a time in my life when I said I'd never be out of touch with music? I mean, I loved listening to music when I was a teenager and kind of, you know, into early adulthood, whatever that is, right? But do you know right now I couldn't name you five songs that are on the radio? I mean, I couldn't. I just don't listen to it. And I don't miss it. You know, I really don't. I listen to the Bible and I listen to podcasts and different things like that. Again, I hear things and you hear things, but teenagers, I want to challenge you, be real careful in what you're putting into your minds, in through these Beats and iPods whatever, they go in your ears. Okay? Headphones, what I call them. Now they stick in your ears out like this and everything else, you know? Anyhow, we got to be careful, and that's adults too. Why? Garbage in, garbage out. Well, I've told you this before, music affects us. These things affect us because guess what? I'm the strength and conditioning coach at Mobile Christian right now. And I enjoy that. But we're going to go out in the game on Friday night. The announcer is not going to play Barry Manilow. He's going to play Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. You know why? Because football is an intense sport. And you want that to be mine, you know, you don't want to go out there with some melancholy music. Music affects us. TV affects us. These things affect us. We've got to be holy in that. We've got to be holy in what we laugh and joke about. Again, I told you, I'm not stepping on the toes the Holy Spirit through Paul is today. And it's stepping on mine. I don't want you to think I'm up here above reproach because I'm a sinner just like you. We've got to be holy in what we participate in. Things like gossip's got to get out of our system. But then finally, this morning, he goes on to tell us what love is, what love doesn't do. It never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. I talked with someone this morning, and their life's probably not where they want it to be. And I'm not saying it's their fault. It's the hand that they're playing, okay? That they've been dealt. They're playing this hand of life that they've given. And I said, how are things? They said, not real good, but they're going to get there. And you know what that told me? That told me they're not giving up. That mindset is what's going to change the world. We can't give up. We can't give up on sharing the gospel. We can't give up on praying for someone to get better. We can't give up on praying for someone to come to know Jesus Christ. We can't give up. Yeah, it can get discouraging. Jesus, I mean, you think He got discouraged? He had to get time away and go recharge His batteries spending time with the Father. But love is going to motivate us to not give up. Love is going to motivate us to not lose faith. I'm going to tell you right now, the wool is going to be pulled out from under you. The rug's going to be pulled out from under you. We're going to get on a roller coaster and the bottom's going to drop out. It's going to turn upside down and life is going to flip. I'm telling you, if it hasn't happened, it's going to happen. And I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm saying it to be realistic. What are we going to do when that happens? We've got to hold on to our faith. We've got to be anchored in faith. When we put that anchor out and know that it's going to be held by the foundation of Jesus Christ, then there is nothing the devil can throw love's way and love not win. We can't lose hope. Hey, yeah, I know the world. I know what's going on. I know what comes through our news sources, our media sources, our social media sources. It's not encouraging. People hating one another and blasting one another and fighting one another and blah, 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 blah. But that's why my hope is not in this world. You see, love takes us out of this world. Love puts our hope in the one who conquered it all. Therefore, we can endure till the end. I love the book of Revelation in a lot of ways. One of those is because he says over and over again, to the overcomers. That's what he's saying. He says, love overcomes. Love conquers. As we close today, a few, I don't know if it's years ago now. It could be months ago. I don't know time. I don't think of time normally anymore. But you remember when the phrase "love wins" became national media? Well, because of a confused people, they use "love wins" in a way to glorify a sinful act. But I want to take that back. I don't want the devil to use something that doesn't belong to him. You see, love belongs to Jesus Christ. It belongs to our Father. And I want you to know, on that day, 2,000 years ago, love won. Love won. In fact, when he walked up and Pilate wanted to know what is truth, truth won. Truth was standing right in front of him. And then when he walked before Pilate and he was beaten, every stripe from those scourges meant love was going to win. And then when they walked him into that hall praetorium, and there they gathered together all those people and they put the crown of thorns and the purple robe and smashed him on the head and spit in his face and made fun, "Hail, King of the Jews." He was doing it so love could win. And then when they snatched all that off of him, made him carry his cross till he couldn't go anymore, and they gored him along like an ox. And finally they had to get somebody to carry it for him. It meant love was going to win. And then they got into Golgotha and they took his clothes and they gambled for a souvenir. And they stripped his dignity away from him. And they hung him on that cross. And he struggled for breath for 6 straight hours. He did it so love could win. When his Father couldn't bear it anymore and he had to turn his back, and people would walk by, maybe people that he'd healed and helped and encouraged along the way, and they're making fun of him. "Hey, you're the Christ, the King of Israel. Come down off that cross." And he had to cry out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama, sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He did it so love and his people could win. And then he gave up the ghost and he died and he breathed his last and he said, "It is finished," and the devil had to celebrate. And maybe you can picture him pumping his fist like he just made a great shot on the golf course or just scored a touchdown and he's spiking the football or whatever he's doing because he thinks hate won. But up from the grave he arose. And love was triumphant for all. That's what love is. Let's obey it right now together. We stand and sing.